Good morning. Welcome to St. John's Lutheran Church this morning as we gather to be in worship, and it's good for us to be together. Couple of things. First of all, I want to make sure that I say thank you to Jeff Blust, who was here with us last weekend. That way Stacy and I could go and make a trip. We had a wonderful time celebrating my sister's retirement and my mother-in-law's birthday. Lots of wonderful times, but also just lots of driving. So I'm really glad to be back. All right. Next Sunday, July 2nd. That's the 4th of July weekend. And so here at St. John's, we're going to have one Sunday morning service. It's at 9:30 to make sure that everybody's upset, because all of you have to come later and all of the later people have to come earlier. But we all get to be together with our sisters and brothers. We get to have a chance to celebrate and worship together. That is next Sunday. Worship begins at 9:30. Please remember that and join us. Join us for that worship service next Sunday. Now for this next announcement, I have to get my costume ready. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, all of God's blessed children, welcome, step forward, come to the big top. For 3 days only in July, here at St. John's, the Big Top comes Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, July 11, 12, and 13. We will be learning, we will be singing, we will be playing and enjoying one another's company as we watch God's love in and with and through some amazing heroes like Moses and Daniel and the Apostle Paul. So if you know some little children, if you are some little children, if you have little children who randomly come by your house, sign them up, bring them so that they can too be part of the Big Top that happens here for Vacation Bible School. Whew, boy, that takes a lot out of you, you know? used both my lips and my tongue to make words. We've gathered this morning so that we can be in worship. So let us then continue our worship by joining together in our gathering song, which is 10,000 Reasons. Let us rise and sing together.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. Worship Your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawn. It's time to sing Your song. Worship His holy name. come, still my soul will sing your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship His holy name.
Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Also with you.
Let us pray. Teach us, good Lord God, to serve you as you deserve, to give and not count the cost, to fight and not heed the wounds, to toil and not to seek for rest, to labor and not to ask for reward except that of knowing that we do your will. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated.
The first lesson is from Jeremiah 20, verses 7 through 13. O Lord, you have enticed me, and I was enticed. You have overpowered me, and you have prevailed. I have become a laughingstock all day long. Everyone mocks me. For whenever I speak, I must cry out. I must shout violence and destruction. For the word of the Lord has become for me a reproach and derision all day long. If I say I will not mention him or speak any more in his name, then within me there is something like a burning fire shut up in my bones. I am weary with holding it all in, and I cannot. For I hear many whisperings. Terror is all around. Denounce him. Let us denounce him. All my close friends are watching for me to stumble. Perhaps he can be enticed, and we can prevail against him and take our revenge on him. But the Lord is with me like a dread warrior. Therefore my persecutors will stumble, and they will not prevail. They will be greatly shamed, for they have not succeeded. Their internal dishonor will never be forgotten. O Lord of hosts, you test the righteous. You see the heart and the mind. Let me see your retribution upon them. For to you I have committed my cause. Sing to the Lord. Praise the Lord. For he has delivered the life of the needy from the hands of the evildoers. The second lesson is Romans 6, 1b through 11. Should we continue in sin in order to grace that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin go on living in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him by baptism into death, so that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in the newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body of sin might be destroyed, and we might no longer be enslaved to sin. For whoever has died is freed from sin. But if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. The word of the Lord.
Please rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Gospel according to St. Matthew in the 10th chapter. Jesus said to the 12, "A disciple is not above the teacher, nor a slave above the master. It is enough for the disciple to be like the teacher, and the slave like the master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of his household? So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered up that will not be uncovered, and nothing secret that will not become known. What I say to you in the dark, tell in the light. And what you hear whispered, proclaim from the housetops. Do not fear those who can kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. And even the hairs of your head are all counted. So do not be afraid. You are of more value than many sparrows. Everyone, therefore, who acknowledges me before others, I also will acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before others, I will also deny before my Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And one's foes will be members of one's own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take up the cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Those who find their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. The Gospel of our Lord. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. It wasn't really until last night, as I was doing this sermon at the Saturday night service, that I was thinking, you know, maybe not everybody remembers what I'm going to be talking about. All right, first of all, Broadway musicals. Okay, we're all nodding our heads, yes, but we're not talking about Six or anything that's recent. All right. How about movie musicals? We've all seen a few of those, right? All right, here we go. We're casting back. Rodgers and Hammerstein. There we are. Now some more nods are happening. South Pacific. Nelly. From Rodgers and Hammerstein's musical, South Pacific, has a brief, but for me, it's a wonderful song about being a cockeyed optimist. The song looks at the world around her, from clouds in the sky to the image of the human race falling on its face. But she is a cockeyed optimist, and she won't give in to the pessimism that surrounds her. You see, the world around Nelly, like the world around us, is pressing in with fear and with opinions, yelling at us that we should only be with those who are like us, or that we should all have the exact same thoughts and opinions. Nelly's response to all that badgering and cajoling is hope. At the end of today's gospel reading, we have images that are disturbing and bring a lot of discomfort to many of us, because Jesus claims that he is not bringing peace, but a sword. He talks about setting parents against children and disrupting families and life. Now, these claims make me uncomfortable because they seem to fly in the face of everything else that Jesus has been teaching and doing and living since his ministry began in early Matthew. How can I read this chunk in the gospel and find hope? How can I read this and remain a cockeyed optimist? Last week in the gospel reading, Jesus was sending his disciples out to bring the good news of God's love to the people. Jesus was sending us as well. Now, our names may not have been included in the list with Peter and Andrew, James, John, Matthew, Philip, but Jesus still speaks our names as well and calls us to follow. Jesus calls us to be disciples. And so in today's gospel, Jesus is continuing the instructions he has for the disciples. The instructions he has as they go off. And in those instructions, Jesus reminds them that a disciple is not above the teacher. It is enough that the disciple be like the teacher. That is our calling. We follow Jesus. We get to live like Jesus, love like Jesus, help and care like Jesus does. We get to let Jesus live in and with and through us as we are able. And you see, that's the strength and the power in the message that we have in today's gospel reading. It's the good news that we get to hear today, because we don't have to look for which rules for which we have to abide or which people we should be ignoring. You see, the devil, the world, and our sinful selves will lead us to hide under bushels or blow out the light of love, hope, and peace. But instead, we are called to follow Jesus, to be like Jesus. As the gospel continues, Jesus goes on to tell us that God loves us and cares for us all. Even when the world is trying to cast us out, even when we are hidden under baskets, even as we're walking through dark places and valleys of shadow and death, God loves us, God cares for us, God knows us, and God is with us. Jesus then uses an incredible image to show us just how concerned God is about us. He says, God even knows the number of hairs on your head. Now, some of us make that easier than others of you, but that's how much God knows about you. That's how much God cares for you and loves you. He even knows how many hairs are on your head. And in the power of that knowledge, God is calling us to follow Jesus and to love our neighbors. Jesus is sending the disciples and he's sending all of us into a world with a message of love, and that world is so hungry for that message, so hungry for that love. We are called to bring food to the hungry, rest to the weary, hope for the forgotten, and God stands by us with guidance and strength, with peace and hope, with grace and mercy for us and for us to share. But now we get to the part of the gospel where my cockeyed optimist starts to wonder. Because after telling us about how much God loves us and cares for us, after reminding us that we have been called to be like Jesus, after all of that wonderful and amazing stuff, we hear about the sword. Now, I don't know about you, but swords can make me uncomfortable. Because swords are dangerous, deadly. They're made to cause harm and perhaps even destruction. And Jesus claims to be bringing a sword. It's difficult for me to wrap my head around that, or to wrap my head around anything that Jesus does that could be dangerous, harmful, or destructive. So this is where my optimism begins to shake. You see, as a weapon, a sword can be offensive or defensive. There are many people who want to look at Jesus and say that we need to be on the offensive and that we can still cast some people out, that we can leave others alone, and we can get along amongst ourselves just fine, thank you very much. A gladius, the sword of a Roman soldier, was a two-edged blade, and that's probably what Paul was thinking about when he was talking about the armor of God. But you see, in the armor of God that Paul describes, the sword is the word of God. I believe that the sword that Jesus brings is the love of God. That love of God that can comfort afflicted ones and afflict comfortable ones. This is the sword that Jesus brings. Jesus brings the love of God. But it's that love of God that can set fathers and sons at odds. It can bring families to their knees in struggle, as some believe and others don't. When one or some are all trying to live in love and faith and others see no need or just malign them. Or when people try to shove faith down people's throats and cause more harm than good, it happens. Families fall against each other. Maybe you know a family like that. Maybe you're even part of a family like that. Or maybe you just feel the discomfort of all of that at work or among the other soccer or volleyball parents. You bring the love of God with you, never intending to hurt or destroy. And yet the reaction of others brings all of that to the fore. You see, in this ending to our gospel today, Jesus is warning the disciples as they start their mission. Jesus is warning us today and every day that this world will resist all efforts for God's love to take hold. This world will resist all efforts for God's dream to be made real. What this world wants to keep dark and hidden, what the world wants to cast aside and tuck away, God's love shines a light and proclaims loudly, not in accusation, but rather in care and mercy, bringing peace as is possible. The disciples needed this warning. We need this realistic warning that no matter how well intended, our following Jesus may bring mothers and daughters at odds, and yet the truth is, we need to tell that story anyway. You see, the sword we are handed is God's love. The sword we carry is the life of Jesus, his actions, and his teaching. The sword we bring into the world is the story of God's love for us all and our part in that story. Now, like Jeremiah, we may be met with mocking and derision. We may look like laughingstocks. But with the presence of God beside us every day, we can sing praise to God and share the presence of Jesus in all that we do. We get to tell the story. We get to live the story. We get to share the story. We get to continue the story of God's love for all people. That sword may bring division for a time, but that sword also brings with it peace and hope. It brings a spot of sunshine through the clouds. Even with the sword that Jesus brings, we can walk into the world with the story of God's love on our tongues and the reality of that love in our living, and we can join Nelly as a cockeyed optimist. When the sky is a bright canary yellow, I forget every cloud I've ever seen, so they call me a cockeyed optimist, immature and incredibly green. I have heard people rant and rave and bellow that we're done and we might as well be dead. But I'm only a cockeyed optimist, and I can't get it into my head. I hear the human race is falling on its face and hasn't very far to go. But every whippoorwill is selling me a bill, and I'm telling you it just ain't so. I could say life is just a bowl of jello and appear more intelligent and smart, but I'm stuck like a dope with this thing called hope, and I can't get it out of my heart. May the grace, the peace, the optimism, the hope that comes from the love of God in Jesus our Lord fill your every day. And may we follow Jesus into the world, carrying that love and sharing the story wherever we go. Amen. Let us now celebrate our baptisms by joining together in confessing our faith using the words we find in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Trusting in God's abundant mercy, let us offer our prayers for a world in need. You entice your church to speak truth that challenges false notions of peace. Prevail upon us with the good news of Christ's death and resurrection, that we are compelled to share the gospel with all the world. Lord, in your mercy, under your watch, not even a sparrow goes unnoticed. Safeguard plant and animal habitats threatened by melting glaciers, rising oceans, and receding coastline. Lord, in your mercy. Our world is enduring violence and destruction. Rescue your people in nations experiencing conflict or crisis. Thwart the efforts of those who sow chaos and terror, and guide those working to bring about peace and reconciliation. Lord, in your mercy, you have counted even the hairs of our heads. Reassure anyone experiencing poverty, homelessness, unemployment, or exploitation that every life has value. Look favorably upon all who struggle. Answer us, for your steadfast love is good. Lord, in your mercy. God of all grace, there are so many people who need your healing presence and power. We pray for all who suffer illness and injury or with accident and disease. We also pray for these who are known to us and who need your wholeness and health. We pray for Sharon, Sharla, Kristen, Nick, Judith, and Rhonda. Lord, in your mercy. Even when we experience rejection, your love invites us to new life. Lift up anyone who feels shunned or excluded. Make your people one. Lord, in your mercy. All who have died with Christ also live with him. We give thanks for all the saints whose faithful confession inspired our own discipleship and raise us with them to eternal life. Lord, in your mercy. Receive our prayers and answer us, O God, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us, pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And now may the Lord grant that we see what needs to be seen and do what needs to be done. May the Lord bless and protect you all. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you all with favor and give you peace. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I hope your week is filled with blessings. I hope you stay a little dry trying to go out to your car. But I hope that you will go into the world with hope.
To make God's vision our mission.
You've been listening to St. John's Lutheran Church, 120 West Water Street, Sydney, Ohio. May God's glory abide with us today. May the love of God be increased within us and extended towards our fellow worshipers. Welcome, children of God. We invite you to return and worship with us again.
And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us?